The Burt Show.
Actress Kristen Davis from Sex and the City inspired me to ask you all this question. What superficial reason kept you from breaking up? There was something superficial that you really liked and you're like, yeah, I can put up with this dude or I can put up with this girl for a little while longer because I'm reaping some benefits from it. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. So she revealed on Rob Lowe's podcast that when she was dating Alec Baldwin back in the day, he was so loaded and had such an awesome house, she couldn't break up with him.
Kristen.
Alec Baldwin was so rich by the time I dated Alec Baldwin, okay? Can I just say that straight out? Like, one of the best things about Alec Baldwin when I dated him is that he had the most incredible house in Amagansett.
Yes.
Like, I remember I was at work and I was like, Sarah Jessica, I just don't know if it's going to work out with Alec and I, but I just really love that house, which is literally like one of the only times I have felt that way. Do you know? Where yes. I'm like, I don't want to break up with this person because I like his house. Like, it's so embarrassing to say that out loud, but it's true.
I mean, he had a nice house.
On the beach, no less.
That is some honesty for you right there.
I applaud her for the honesty. Yeah. Hey, Selma, welcome to The Burt Show. So you stayed in the relationship. You should have broken up, but you decided not to. And what was the reason why?
He was buying amazing gifts.
He was buying you amazing gifts.
What were you getting, girl?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about these gifts.
The reason was, so the bottom part of him was horrible, but the top part of him was amazing.
Hang on. Does that make sense? Explain it to me like I'm five.
Okay, no, I understand about the bottom part. It was lackluster. So below the belt was lackluster, right?
But the head part.
You know. His brain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That
brain.
Makes sense.
All right, so
not the brain.
Gotcha. So Selma, so we need to know, what were some of these gifts?
So, okay, he would constantly buy me purses. We would go in the mall, literally just look at something, and he'll be like, oh, give me 2 seconds. Like, go back to the store and buy the thing that I looked at, then 3 more things on top of that. It was all just to keep me around because my love language is gifts.
Clearly.
Thank you, Selma.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, bye.
The honesty has been so refreshing on The Burt Show the past couple of days.
Refreshing is one way to put it.
Maybe brutal is another word.
Uh-huh.
All right, so Rebecca, you threw this out to our Burt Show fam on social media. What is the superficial reason that kept you from breaking up with the guy or girl you were dating?
There are a lot, and I am surprised that people are so willing to overshare, but this first one actually comes from me.
Oh.
And I'm a little worried to share it because it might be a little problematic, but I stayed with my last ex way too long because he had a little brother who I absolutely loved and adored, who was autistic, and his special interest was roller coasters. So we went to Six Flags constantly, and we got to skip the line because he was special needs.
That's crazy.
I did not see that going that way. Oh my God.
We were bonding.
I thought you were going to say you bonded with his little brother. You couldn't let the bond go.
That's bonding.
I mean, Rebecca.
I'm gagged.
I stayed with him.
Yeah. I'm gagged.
All right. Now that you have cleansed your soul, what are some of the comments on social media?
We were bonding. It's okay.
Oh, that's
okay.
Weird. You were gagged. I couldn't think of anything to say rather than just scream her name 3 times. All right. What we got?
I stayed with my last ex way too long because he had all of the Austin Powers movies on DVD and I wanted to finish them.
Okay.
Of all the movie franchises.
Austin Powers did it. Okay.
I think there's only 3.
Yeah.
How long it take her to watch all 3 of them?
They're going
to
lose it when they find out about Amazon Prime and renting.
Okay, I didn't break up with a terrible girlfriend because she owned a corgi.
Oh, I get that.
Corgis aren't really. A corgi is a type of dog. It's the one that
the Queen
Elizabeth had, a bunch of them.
Okay.
They're
kind
of a little bit longer, short, stubby legs, and these cute, fluffy butts.
That's a beautiful dog.
They look like Vienna sausages if Vienna sausages were a pet.
They do not.
They look like tiny little thumbs with hair.
That's corgis
are weird.
Thumbs with hair is accurate.
And they have hearts on their butts. Like, it's that dog is weird. God got high and made corgis, okay? I stand by buy that.
I've definitely swiped right on a man on a dating app because he had a corgi. That's my dream dog.
They're so cute.
They are cute. I dated my boyfriend for way too long because he paid for my Costco family membership and I wasn't willing to give up the Kirkland Signature Chicken Bakes.
All right. I understand that.
I get it.
Yep.
A Costco membership.
Yeah.
Now, oh God, what we should have asked is like, how much longer did you stay? Like, how much was that Costco membership worth? Did you stay an extra week? Did you stay an extra month? Were you with that sucker for an extra year because you liked the chicken bake so bad?
He playing for the whole family. I'm assuming it was at least a year.
Mm-hmm. I stayed with a boyfriend for 2 whole years longer than I should have because the thought of doing taxes alone or having to pay someone to do them was so horrifying to me.
Oh my God, that's me. I submitted that.
Respect.
I get it, girl.
Yeah, it makes sense. I kept dating a man for an entire summer because his apartment had a rooftop pool.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah, or if he had a boat.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's always that girl in the friend group who's got to do us a solid.
Man, we got it rough out here, boy.
You have been taking hits left and right the last couple days.
It's been a week.
Oh, and it's only Tuesday.
Hey, women are used for other things like our bodies.
Yeah, it wasn't one man on this list.
Oh, wow. All right, if you want to share some more, you can always hit us up on social media. We're at The Burt Show or Facebook.com/The Burt Show. So by all means, you're going to be in good company. However, nobody's going to beat Rebecca's. That just took it to another level.
I took the cake. The Burt Show. It's all on the line for one of my friends. He thought that this was a threat, and it turned out to be a lot more. And now we're trying to figure out what our next move should be.
It sounds dangerous.
It could be, genuinely. So this started a few weeks ago, and we were pretty quiet about it at first because we were still trying to figure it out. And it just made sense also for us to give it a couple of weeks because my podcast in the moment under Burt's Pioneer Network has just been released. Well, it's just been recorded. It'll be released tomorrow. And this is the story that we opened with because it was a scary situation for him. I thought it was a joke, to be honest. One day, out of nowhere, this seemingly just happened randomly. But he got a text message from a number he doesn't know and a person he doesn't know.
Is this your buddy who's just a content machine?
Absolutely.
Gotten a suite.
Absolutely.
That just kind of tells you his life. I don't want to say his life is chaotic. I don't even want to say like he attracts drama.
It's busy. He's a busy man with a very busy life. And it works out perfectly for me because that's the balance you need when you are sharing a podcast with somebody. Because I don't like for my life to be like that, but he enjoys it. Mm-hmm. It fits his personality. And right in line with that, he gets a text message and the text message says something to the extent of either send me $3,000 or I'm going to make your life a living hell. That's pretty much what he said.
Say that again.
Send me $3,000 to this. It was like a link or something that they put in there where he could drop the money off or I'm going to make your life a living hell. That's all he got.
Oh my God. Super ominous.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the spam text messages are so out of control. Typically, it's like the U.S. Postal Service can't deliver this package. Click here so you can retrieve it. Now it's all about the toll roads. Uh-huh. This seems very pointed.
It did. And so initially, I still thought somebody's messing with you. This could be spam. I wouldn't even respond if I were you. But he ended up responding, saying something to the extent of do what you got to do or something to that nature. And he said he did it because he figured if it was like spam, they wouldn't really have a response like that was kind of directed towards him. So that would kind of give him some type of hint on if what he's dealing with.
Would you have responded?
I wouldn't have responded at all. But I would have just ignored it.
Because that's you.
Right.
But
Mr. Busy, Mr. Drama over here, he's ready to dive in. So he responds, do what you got to do. I'm not sending anything. Something like that. And then they respond, okay, well, tomorrow's the day. So he calls me and he's like, what do you think I should do? And I'm like, well, sending the money is not an option. I don't think you should do anything. I think you did exactly what you should have done and told them to do what they have to do. And we'll see what happens. I completely think this is some kind of joke. I am. Right? There's no part of me that thinks that there's any legitness to this threat.
Did he do a reverse lookup of the phone number?
Initially, we tried. So we do have a guy that we hired. I don't know if y'all remember, but when I had someone that was sending me messages and we were trying to figure out the identity of the person, we paid a guy to figure it out. And he did. And we knew exactly who it was. So I knew we had him on retainer. If we need him, we got him. But at first, I was like, play it out. I wouldn't go hire him for nothing. So then the next day, literally the next day, he wakes up and his phone is like blowing up. He's getting phone call after phone call, text message after text message. Somehow, I don't know how, this person was able to access his phone and his security system in his home.
Oh, my gosh.
So they randomly set the security system off, which I guess when his security system off, it goes to certain people, like certain of his emergency contacts, his one being his daughter and another being the mother of his daughter. And both of them, his daughter and that came over to his house, was knocking on the door. Daughter was crying because she thought he was really having an emergency. Not only did they set off the alarms, they somehow got into his phone and sent an emergency signal to 18 people in his contact list. It was like a random 18 people. I don't know how they got it to these 18 people, but all 18 people ended up texting him back, asking him if he was okay. So then they sent another text message saying, if you don't send the money, this is going to continue. So now it's like, it's serious because we don't know who it is. We don't know what they're capable of doing, what they can do next, and how he can stop it other than sending the money, which obviously he's not going to do.
So could this just be coincidental that there was like a mix, like something went awry with his security system? Or did the person text and be like, ha, 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 see, told you? Like, did they confirm it was them that did this?
So that's what I'm saying. They sent him a text saying that if you don't pay me, this is going to continue to happen. But we don't know what the continue to happen is or what else they are capable of doing. So he went and changed his phone out. He changed his security system out. He did all of the things he felt like he needs to do in order for that not to happen anymore. And nothing has happened since. So it's been quiet for like a week now after him doing that. So we think he's good. But the real question is, do we pursue it? Like, do we? Because I think we should. He thinks we should let it go. I'm like, if we have the means of possibly figuring out whoever sent you that initial text, I say we go get him.
Yeah, I would want to know so bad. At what point do you involve the authorities or do you not?
That was the next step. So we were waiting to see if they were going to do anything else. I told him, I think you have all that you need to go right now.
Yeah.
You have plenty. But he was like, nah, I don't want to go that far unless something else happens. So he was waiting for something else to happen. But nothing has happened since, and it's been about a week since the last contact he had with the person.
See, I would go ahead and start paperwork, man.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of talk, honestly, because if it's been quiet for a week, you think that they would want to come and swing in to show you that they mean business. So maybe they're just going to move on to people that are stupider and more scared, and all they can really do is hack into anything with Wi-Fi, and that's really the extent of their power. So I would get the authorities involved just to be safe, but I think you're probably in the clear.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's so scary.
We got to catch them so that they don't do it to somebody else. I didn't think about that. All but it was a really scary situation.
I can only imagine.
The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, you dropped a bomb on us yesterday telling us you put an offer in on a place, on a home, your very own home.
I might be having a mortgage pretty soon. Yeah, this is the biggest impulse buy.
Baby's first mortgage.
Exciting.
Yay. Baby's first home.
Let's go.
Yeah, this is the biggest impulse purchase of my life.
It's not impulse, Abigail. Yeah,
I know. I've thought about it. I've done the spreadsheets. I've done the research. I've had the conversations. And I'm like, you know what? I just need to stop overthinking it. And I just need to do it. I feel like there's some guilt around spending big amounts of money, you know, and I felt this way before. I've done some cosmetic work before. I've done some other impulse purchases before, and I always felt guilty about them in the beginning. But then, you know what? I was like, I've always been happy about them once I've done it. So I was like, why not just go for something that's actually going to be potentially financially beneficial and purchase a home?
Oh, girl, it's a great investment.
It's a great investment. Mm-hmm. And I do love interior decorating. Literally. And I love interior decorating. So it'll be fun.
You want a new hobby, which is decorating a place. And so that's why you want to buy your own place.
Yeah, I literally just need something to take all my Pinterest dreams out on.
You just need something to do.
My parents? I just need something to do in my free time.
She's like, I've already planned three trips from the One Less Lonely Girls Club. I can't plan any more trips because I'm already booked out for 2029. So I need a home that I can decorate.
Yeah.
Listen, if Pinterest could pay me, I would be making six figures easily because I spend so much time planning things that are going to happen now. Yes, Greece is one of them. So back to the home thing. So I put in an offer on a home on Saturday and it was terrifying. I was sweating. I was shaking. I was crying. I was panic calling my mom. I had to cancel all my plans on Saturday. I was supposed to go out that night. Had to cancel that because I was too stressed out.
We got to get you on some meds, girl.
Yeah, I know. I started something, but, you know, I don't think it's working.
So, clearly.
And it's called illegal drugs. So I'm sitting there on Saturday, cancel all my plans, thinking that I'm going to hear back from them.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, silly, silly me. And during the middle of the show yesterday, I got a response from my realtor.
Okay.
You did. All right. So you offered, and so you received your counter offer during the show.
I got my counter offer.
Wait, why am I nervous? What?
It's like, and they went up in price. No. They gave me a counter offer that I thought was not generous.
But okay. Was your offer insulting? Because that's a huge thing, especially in real estate. Like, you never want to go in too low because you could literally insult the homeowner. And there have been times when they're just like, that was so low that I refuse to even do business with you. That's their prerogative if they want to do that.
Listen, take the emotions out of it, girlfriend. It's just business, my guy. So I basically countered and I said, best and final. Take it or leave it. Yeah. And I'm going to find out by 9 p.m. tonight.
Oh, so they countered and then you countered back and you put in writing best and final offer. So either they accept it or they don't. Mm-hmm. And your deadline is 9 p.m. this evening.
So I'm either
moving.
Right? I don't play hardball. Is she?
Yeah.
So I'm either going to be moving into that home or there's another home that I'm interested in, so I might be making another offer tomorrow on a different place. Look, we just got to see. Look at me making moves.
Let's go.
So we're going to see where I'm living next year.
Now, I'm curious, with this being your first foray into the home buying process, and it can be very daunting. And when you think about you're taking on a mortgage for the next 30 years and you look at what you owe and all that stuff and it's like, what the heck am I doing? But it is a very sound, wise investment. I love this for you. I love that you're doing it as a single woman. I think it's going to be so empowering for you and you're going to come out after when this process is done and over with. Like, if I can do this, I can do anything. It's that type of mentality and it's great. And I love all of this for you. But I'm a very emotional being. I'm a sensitive bird and I get very attached. So when my husband and I were shopping for, we're doing some home shopping when we first moved to Atlanta, I would get too emotionally attached to things. I'm wondering, have you been able to be like pragmatic, realistic, and keep emotion out of it?
I've gotten to that point. Right. I think if you asked me 2 months ago, I would say absolutely not. There was another place that I was really interested in that I was like just so in love with. Mm. But I think because I'm so pragmatic and you start laying out all the potential risks and all the work that things might require, you start to be a little bit more okay. You're like, you know what? I'm saving money. Girl math. If I don't buy this place, it's might be cheaper somewhere else. And I'm just a big believer in everything is working out the way it's supposed to work out. Mm. And if it's not this place, then maybe there was going to be something that popped up, 10 years from owning this home that was going to cause me a big financial loss or whatever. So I'm just trying to trust the process and hope that wherever I end up is where I'm supposed to end up. Smart. And if it's not this place, there's another place I like. And thank God I'm in that position. So I don't have to feel like, no, where am I going to live? So if it's not this one, maybe it's the other one. And if it's not that one, then I'm going to be living in a box.
All right. I'm scheduling this for this time tomorrow. To see how the deadline went.
Drama!
We need answers.
All right, so Abby, here's the places that you don't need to hang out in Atlanta.
Okay.
Because if you're looking for a man to settle down, velvet.residence on Instagram has all the places where not to find a wifey in Atlanta. So these are the places guys go and they're like, I'm gonna have a good time, but I'm not going to find a wifey. So if you're looking to wifey up, you need to stay clear of these places because guys don't think their wifey exists.
What's the best bar or restaurant to find not wifey?
Red Door, Lost Dog, Kramer's, Big Sky.
Just from what I've heard, MJQ, probably not going to find wifey in the church bar. But places I've been to where you're not going to find wifey, Dark Horse.
Any of the clubs, you can go District, Domain, Opium, Cuckoo Room, Ember. Any of the strip clubs, Magic, Pink Pony. You ain't going to find wifey there unless she's like celebrating something and she's with a group of girls, but she's just there on her own time, not wife.
Flatiron, Banshee, anything in EAV, anything in Buckhead, especially Buckhead. 30, what's the one, Dive Bar? Yo, Buckhead's no, because it's just kids there. Everyone there's like 19.
30 and five paces, anywhere on that Buckhead strip. Anywhere. There's a lot of places that are not good to find wifey. No hate to Buckhead. She's probably still out there, but.
If it's Nobu specifically or any of those bougie restaurants, when they're there, they have to let it be known that they're there, that's a red flag already. You already know that chick, she ain't the one, bro.
So there's literally nowhere you can go.
I can't leave my house, is what I'm hearing.
No, if you're in your house, you're Catwoman and you're unmarriable. Like, where are you supposed to go? Church?
It's so funny because every time me and Rebecca go out, that's where she wants to go. She goes, can we go to church? So, not sure what that says about a girl.
I think,
Becky.
I think Cassie was talking about real church, not Sister Louise's church of the Ping Pong Emporium.
Wow.
Tell me
you're an alcoholic without telling me you're an alcoholic.
Oh, my God. Well, I will say, I don't think it's necessarily like you're a sleut or you're a bad person if you go to these places. I think it's just the type of energy that those places invite. Because, like, if I'm going to Dark Horse, like, I know it's going to be me and a bunch of 23-year-olds drinking cheap tequila. It's inviting a chaotic energy. So I think if you want to go to Dark Horse, enjoy it. Just know no one's going to want to wife you up there.
The Burt Show.
For once, I'm listening to my husband and actually hearing the words that are coming out of his mouth.
This is growth. Oh. What, 20 years in? How long have y'all been married or together?
We've been together 20.
That's nice of you.
Here's the thing. I ain't looking for a cookie. I'm not looking for a brownie. I'm not looking for a trophy.
Small parade?
Yeah. Okay, that would be nice. But I want to address that I've reached it's not a pivotal moment, but a better understanding of what I think is best is not necessarily best. It's best for me, but it might not be best for somebody else. I set expectations for myself, and while those expectations for myself might make sense, they might not make sense for somebody else. And I do think there is growth in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not letting people skate and get away with stuff. That's not it. People have different life experiences. So that means they have different priorities and they have different things that make them happy. So what makes you happy may not make somebody else happy. And as we've said before on this show, don't yuck their yum. I'm here to tell you, I'm no longer yucking my husband's yum.
Yes. No more yucking the yum.
All right. And this
is this a family show still?
Yes, I swear to God it is. My husband turned 50 December 28th. It's 3 days after Christmas, and so we don't really get to like do a lot of celebrations for his birthday because it's at Christmas time, people are busy, and it's hard to plan anything. Now, for his 40th birthday, I scheduled a massive surprise birthday party on June 28th, on his half birthday. Didn't see it coming. I rented out a brewery, family flew in, friends flew in. He walked in the door, and he was like completely flabbergasted. It was amazing. Well, he turned 50. And I wanted to, it's a milestone birthday, right?
For sure.
I mean, my man's a half a century. Mm-hmm. We need to celebrate. And we did a family get together while we were in Kentucky over the holidays, because it's where a majority of our family and friends live. And he was against it, but I forced his hand. And I'd like to think he appreciates it and he's glad he did it, because he got to see his nieces. He got to see some college buddies. Like, it was a lovely night. But we have some really close friends here in Atlanta, and I wanted to do something to acknowledge him in this milestone birthday. And lo and behold, with everybody's schedules, it's scheduled for Friday. It took us 3 months, but we got there. And so we are going out and celebrating his 50th birthday on Friday.
Aww.
Nice.
Happy birthday, baby. So I hit him up on email. Not once, not twice, not even thrice. I can't remember. I'm like, Here's some restaurant options. Look through, tell me which one you want me to make a reservation, because these are nice restaurants you need to early book. He's not responding. He's not responding. He's not responding. And I'm finally like, dude, like, if I need one, I want to get this off my mental load. And I'm starting to get perturbed with him. This man sits me down on the couch.
Oh, no.
Sits me down on the couch and he goes, you pick a restaurant. And then, like, I could feel, like, the blood boiling because, like, I know I can be particular, but at the same time, it'd be nice for other people in my life to make decisions, even though I am a control freak and the decision you make probably isn't the decision I'm going to like, and then I'm going to have something to say about it. So I can understand why I scare people.
You should know that.
I recognize about that myself. Right. I like to think I have a little bit of self-awareness. And then I saw the look in his eyes. And he's like, I just want wings.
My man.
And I go, huh? He goes, you know, the fancy dinners are nice and stuff, and that's your thing. But what I would really like is just to go to Wing Factory to get a couple of the high tops in the bar area so people can walk around and talk to each other. That way you're not seated. Like, you can actually have conversations and eat some wings. And, like, I could feel, like, my soul leave my body, because that's not what I would want mm-hmm. for my 50th birthday. but it's what he wants.
It's his birthday.
For his 50th birthday. So this Friday, our crew is headed to the Wing Factory.
That's so funny.
I love this, though. We are going to have a plethora of wings.
Yep.
We're not even going to have a table. We're going to have some high tops in the bar.
Come on.
And that's how we're celebrating his birthday.
This is so funny.
Yeah. And isn't this better for you? Because you don't have to do the planning, the fancy restaurant, and all of the you know, bells and whistles.
It is, but at the same time, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, how can I make this bigger?
Right.
And I think that's the radio in me. Uh-huh. And I'm like, all right, so, like, is there something funny we could wear? But that's not him.
No. Nope.
He's not a wear a goofy outfit kind of guy.
You want to put him in a costume?
Put him in a chicken costume. Let's all wear chicken hats. Everyone bring feathers.
I literally was thinking, I was Googling funny stuff, but.
I forgot my question. What was I going to say?
Only I knew.
Well, first of all, I'm in that Wingstop parking lot all the time. I don't know what they put in that sauce, but it is packed every single time I go there. Oh, this is what I was going
to
say.
It's our favorite place to eat wings, which is why he wants to go there.
Great wings.
I bet this is a lot cheaper, too. So, uh-huh. I mean, if you think about it, like, take the cost difference. Girl, why don't you take yourself to Louboutin or something?
How do we get to Louboutin his birthday?
Let me explain. He's taking the gift and the joy of getting to plan something for him. He obviously doesn't want some kind of big fancy gift.
He doesn't.
I'm just acting as your CPA here. Let's maximize the budget.
Yeah.
And if it's a $2,000 difference between going to Marcel versus Wing Factory.
Yeah.
Wow.
All I'm seeing is two pairs of Lubies so you can be scooting in your Labutins all the way to Wingstop or Wing Factory.
And maybe Friday night, that's all I'd be wearing when we go to
Now we're talking!
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We got to talk about Casey Anthony in a second, which is crazy.
Girl.
But before we get into someone like the sad, true crimey stuff of all this, I want to talk to you about TV shows. Because how many times have you been in a conversation with a friend and they're like, girl, have you seen blah, 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 White Lotus, Bridgerton, Outlander, Severance.
1923.
You have to watch it. It's so good. And all you can think in the back of your head is, oh my God, it's probably not even up my alley. I don't know if it's good. And they're like, no, you got to give it a few episodes. Well, it turns out there's research that shows that it actually takes a certain amount of episodes for the average TV show to get good. Some of the most iconic TV shows in the world actually take an average number for you to actually be interested in it. And if you had to throw out a number out there, how many episodes do you think it takes the average TV show to get going?
Okay, so I'm experiencing this right now because I've been a fan of White Lotus since the first season. However, I was very disappointed when I turned on season 3 and I didn't get the...
No context to that?
That's the theme song.
It's a theme song. But they took out the of the theme song. And I'm like, y'all, this is such a bust. So I'm watching the new season of White Lotus, which is about a fancy hotel. And they have multiple locations. First, we were in Maui. Then we were in Italy. Now we're in Thailand. Okay. I'm 3 episodes in, and I'm finally hooked.
Really?
It took 3 episodes. It's been a drag, man. Like, they're doing too much. And I'm sure on the back end, it'll all make sense, but I'm finally somewhat invested to figure out where this is going and all the, cause they have multiple storylines and to figure out how people's storylines are going to tie up. But it took me to episode 3 to get there.
Okay. Episode 3.
It's very rare that I watch a new show and it hooks me from the very first episode, which is why I think I love Paradise so much, which Bert and I come in here and talk about all the time. Cause that was an example of a show that has done that. But on average, I was going to say 3 to 4 episodes before I feel like, okay, I'm hooked. I try to stick it out to at least 3 if I don't feel it immediately.
For me, I think the first season, the first 3 episodes of every first season, it will never get better than that. So if I'm not hooked by episode 3, I'm out. But new research from IMDb ratings said that most TV shows don't get good or don't get people invested until episode 6.
Get out of here.
That's like come 6. On. That's nope. literally the first the season.
Yeah, like nah.
It doesn't get good until season 1 ends, but some of the top episodes or some of the top series that have been listed and involved in this study are Breaking Bad.
That was my first thought.
Apparently took 6 episodes to get there.
It did.
Doctor Who, 6 episodes. Friends, 7 episodes. South Park, 8 episodes. And Seinfeld, 16 episodes.
What?
16 episodes to get good?
To get good for Seinfeld.
Those are sitcoms. I feel like it's a little different. Like, they should be good from the beginning.
You should be giggling and kicking your feet episode 2.
From and that's jump. Also, you have to think, too, those are, I feel like those are seasons that have, like, how many episodes were in
like
those seasons?
30.
And whereas now, like, you watch White Lotus, you have, like, what, maybe 8 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
So
right at the end, that's when they hook you. They're like, wait, how does it end?
Yeah, watch the whole season before you determine if you like it. Yeah, okay.
All right, so back to Casey Anthony. So she's joined TikTok, which I think a lot of people are like, sit down, put your phone down. Like, you shouldn't be here. Specifically because she was acquitted of murdering her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee. And a lot of people feel like even though she was acquitted, they still believe that she actually did it.
How long ago was that trial?
2008. So wow. This is what, 15 years ago?
Yep.
And so now she's on TikTok claiming that she is a legal advocate and she's starting a newsletter to advocate for other individuals. So she got on TikTok and said, I'm a legal advocate. I'm a researcher. I've been in the legal field since 2011. And in this capacity, I feel that it's necessary if I'm going to continue to operate appropriately as a legal advocate that I start to advocate for myself and also advocate for my daughter. And now she's starting a Substack, which is basically like a newsletter where she's going to communicate with people directly about legal matters. I don't even know what she could talk about on a weekly basis in a newsletter, but just know if you want to subscribe to it, it's out there.
Well, she had a bird's eye view. She has like firsthand perspective of the legal system and having sat through that trial. So, I mean, I don't doubt that she has insider information. I just don't know if that's a person you want to get it from.
Yeah, the comments definitely tell me that the world is not ready to or willing to accept her opinions on much of anything at this point.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you're accused of murdering your daughter, and even though you're acquitted, the court of public opinion is really where things matter if you're going to be free. So Casey Anthony's now on the TikTok, and if you want to follow her, she's out there. All right, Jay-Z is taking legal action against the woman who alleged sexual assault against him and then retracted her case. It's on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.